This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, the Automotive Podcast Guy, and welcome to the Town Hall Academy, episode 227. We're talking shop new build. Hey, we've repurposed our live show as a podcast listen episode, as we always do, but if you'd like to take a look at the pictures that Seth Thorson and Troy Ventinetti provided, then head to my website, remarkableresults.biz, or on my Carm Capriotto YouTube page. Now, whether you're ready to expand to another location, remodeling an existing building, or starting from scratch, construction and breaking ground can be very overwhelming with different challenges based on the location. Now, how do you create and build the shop of your dreams? Shop owners Seth Thorson and Troy Ventinetti share their experiences and offer advice with what they've learned during the process. Take this opportunity to get the wheels turning for your future project. Hey, thanks to Shopware and Shop Marketing Pros for bringing you this great episode. How much paper have you touched today? Those piles of time stacked all over the shop. Well, think of what you could do with that time and how many more cars you could get through the door. Cha-ching! It's time for a digital shop management system on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, have you realized that your marketing looks exactly the same as the shop down the road? Well, your shop's different, and it deserves marketing that is as unique as your shop is. Let Shop Marketing Pros show your community just how different you are on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Hey, don't forget, every Town Hall Academy is streamed live on Fridays at noon Eastern. Join us. Hey, here's who my guests are today. It's Seth Thorson. Hey, my friend Seth, how are you, man?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me on again.
Eurotech from New Brighton, Minnesota, and we're going to see some inside scoop on his brand new location in Medina, Minnesota. Third place, huh?
Third location.
How are you doing with the anticipation that this thing is going to open in a couple of weeks?
We're getting there. It's a push. We push this one because this was less than nine months shoveling the ground to opening with a staff. So we're we push this one a little hard.
9 months. Well, I can't wait to hear from Troy Ventinetti from Graham Auto Service out in Graham, Washington. Hello, Troy.
Hello.
Good to have you here. Now, Troy isn't building a brand new building at the moment like Seth is, but he sure has a brand new building, I would say, what, a few years old?
It's 4.5 years old.
4.5. And so we're here to talk about a lot of very interesting things. I want to know about owning the dirt, which is so important. Seth, Troy, both of you, I know, are big advocates of that. Some special nuances. Did you involve your team? Talk to us about the architect relationship. Did you design this to improve workflow? Any amenities for employees or customers? How about the latest tech inside the building? HVAC, internet, stuff like that. The ecology, the environment. Any special signage? Stuff like that. So we're here to help the industry and the aftermarket learn from two guys that are heavy into build. We have pictures. It's always nice to have pictures, And Seth has a video that he's going to narrate for us. He took it just a few days ago. We're going to show that, and then we're going to walk through some of his pictures. Troy, we've got some pictures. I have a beautiful aerial shot of your dirt while you're building part of this place. And again, guys, back and forth, let's discuss this. So much to learn from you guys about building a place. So, Trace, why don't we run that video, and Seth, you can narrate that for us.
Sure, yeah. I mean, so we're going to start walking in the shop here. This is the outside. This is going to be a unique location because it's in a Motorplex condo. You can see they're putting the tile floors down. My other facility has tiles. There's my German guy from Germany working. They sent a guy from Germany to put these tiles down. So we're kind of walking through the five bays that are on that side. Then we'll walk into the front office, which in this location is really tight based on the land and stuff we had. That's going to be a dispatch write-up office. There'll be two kiosks there looking through the windows. Our customer VIP lounge is upstairs with handicap access. It has to be a VIP lounge. We repeat all the amenities downstairs. But upstairs, you can see we have mechanical room for a lot of our mechanical stuff that needs to be housed upstairs. We went vertical with this just due to space. We got a kitchenette in here. This is going to be a lounge, some chairs, a couch, people relax. We host a lot of car shows and events here. Second floor is a great view of outside for the customers to sit and watch. Another bathroom upstairs. So we're two employee bathroom or two customer bathrooms and one employee bathroom that's going to be downstairs in the main shop. So we'll walk back down through here. That's the employee bathroom you just saw on the left briefly, or customer bathroom. That's more of the view of the shop. This is our alignment and tire bay. Based on our location, we split our bays. So on the left side of the building, as you walk up, this will be tire equipment and alignment. We're going to go ahead and walk upstairs. Upstairs, you have on the right, you have one office. You have a second conference room. Our oil bulk oil tank and storage will go up here. Straight ahead is our employee break room. So we have a big employee break room, meeting room. So a couple conference rooms upstairs, two offices, and we cram this all in the 4,000 square feet. You know, we're six bays total, five bays plus an alignment bay in a 4,000 square foot footprint. So efficient and nice. The second story adds another 700-800 feet, but our footprint is, you know, 35 foot bay. Doors deep. So we put this thing on a really small footprint due to some different constraints that we can get into.
When I saw that upstairs customer piece, is that going to be a metal railing across?
There'll be metal railings up there. Yep. There's some metal railings going up, some more decor going up on there. Some, you know, it's a higher end facility, so there'll be some really cool things. When you walk in, there's 5 feet between the mezzanine and the top. And so you walk in, it's 22 feet to the ceiling.
Now, you said it was handicapped access. How are people going to get up there?
They don't. So that's why, due to handicap rules, we call it a VIP customer lounge. And in the downstairs, we have the same water. We have the same. So to get by with some of the rules, we have every amenity that's upstairs is available downstairs. Therefore, there's no handicap restriction rules on accessing
that. Okay, great. Good. Hey, Troy, chime in anytime if you want to give him a high five or you got a comment. Let's start looking at some of Seth's pictures. Here's one I pulled. This is so cool. I love this picture. I mean, this shows the sheer awesome size of this place.
Well, so some of this, too, when you look at this picture, some of this is going to be the clubhouse for the car condominiums, and then the other side of the building is owned by somebody else.
So okay. We
bought one section of the building, and we could plan what we could do in the footprint that we had in this building. So on site, there is 1,000 to 2,000 cars stored. This is a garage owner's condominium storage where these people buy these private garages for $400 to $1 million, and then they store their car collection there. And we're on the outside of this.
I'm sorry. That is kind of new to me, Seth, a car condominium. And so you're attached to it?
I'm on the outside of the gate. So it's a locked area. We're on the outside of the gates being able to do retail. And then also being able to service the people that store their cars there.
Got it. Okay, help me understand the tile and that it came from Germany and a person from Germany came to install it. What's so special about it?
So this is German clinker tile. It's what all the Porsche and BMW and Mercedes dealers are using. I've had epoxy. I love epoxy. It's in one of my other shops, but epoxy tends not to hold up. The tile holds up for a much longer time. Epoxy, you know, we see starting to go bad in 5 to 7 years. I have to redo it. So this is a much more permanent investment. The guys that install it from Germany are here on like a work visa for 5 to 7 years. And they do all the dealerships. And we're one of the first independents to really get into doing this in independent style garage. But we drop brake rotors on them and nothing happens.
Wow. It looks like subway tile.
It is. It's 3x5 tiles. One lone German guy is doing all 3,700 feet of floor space here. Well, they sent one guy from Germany that did 6,000 feet at my other shop.
Amazing. Good stuff. Next picture.
So that's upstairs. That's going to be our kitchenette upstairs. Again, being this car condominium and Caffeine and Octane, which is on NBC, gets filmed here once in a while. We have a lot of high-end guests and stuff. So on the weekends, we can cater food in. And when we do our car show, we can have people come in, grab some food, a drink, and you know, kind of use it as a sales tool, interaction, social networking. My team wants to rent it out when car shows. All my guys want to come hang out up there when there's car shows going on. So we're building a full-end kitchenette.
And this is upstairs?
Yep, this is that customer VIP area that will double as a car show venue.
It sounds interesting, Seth, that you are in this car condominium with obviously some high-end cars. You're a high-end Euro shop. Was this planned on purpose?
Yes, this was planned on purpose. When I saw the development going up, I met with the developer and said, what do you think about, you know, creating some commercial space? He worked with us and said, yeah, we've actually thought about commercial space. We've approached a few shops. You know, are you interested? I said, yeah, we're definitely interested.
Now, the oil and the fluids that are upstairs, how hard is that going to be to replenish?
So there's going to be a pumper system that'll go down. So against the back wall, there'll be a fill port to pump it up and pump the fluids up there. So we're building a whole system. This was all designed. The trusses were built extra thick to hold all this, because then all my bulk stuff is hidden upstairs behind this, the half wall up here.
Very, very clever idea. Very clever. And this was a dispatch area?
Yeah, we call it a dispatch office. We tend to run more of a dispatch model where our service writers will take sales calls and make sales calls in the office, then meet the customers on a really clean kiosk where there's not paperwork and clutter. We're hiding all the clutter, if you will, of what it takes to write estimates and make notes and things like that.
Let me ask you, Seth, about your architect challenges, the design input from your team, permits. You say you've had a 9-month program. I mean, that's unreal. I know some guys that are 2 years in trying to get a building built.
Well, a lot of ours is lucky because it was a planned PUD, planned unit development, where a lot of the stuff was permitted already. So we had to get architecture approval. We had to get sign approval. We had to do all of that. But we already had the developer had already had all the permits needed for the land, which saved us a ton of work. So I was able to put up a shell pretty quick and pick how much of the shell I wanted to buy on a square footage basis and get this thing up and running and operational, hopefully, in, you know, the timeline that we have.
Budget. Are you on or over under budget?
Well, since the building budget when we built the condo was a fixed price budget, the developer is crying the blues because of the price of lumber is through the roof, and he has to do it on the budget that was fixed. As long as I don't put any change orders, it was a fixed price bid. So it was a per square foot shell bid. And right now he's crying the blues a little bit with lumber through the roof and supplies, but he had to build it on the budget. My build out inside is probably over 10 or 12% over. But we're still really close to on budget with what we're doing in this scenario.
Any special HVAC stuff? Did you put in some really modern stuff?
So we're in a cold climate. Minnesota gets really, really cold. So we have all in-floor heat, all radiant in-floor heat, and then we have full HVAC for AC. So all three of my facilities are air conditioned. So this one will be fully air conditioned as well. But yeah, two 4-ton AC units going up to cool the place, and ducting's going up. You can see the spiral duct tubes in some of those pictures.
Did any of your people help say, hey, we're building a new place, here's some great ideas on spacing at all?
Yeah, so we talked to our team, especially our shop foreman that's been hired to run that store along with our store manager, because they've been on staff for the last 4 months training at New Brighton and training at Woodbury. So the staff that's going into that store has been 4 to 6 months. Our main foreman's been in the company 7 or 8 months, so they're training and working. They had a lot of input of what's going on. Daniel had some input. We toured a bunch of facilities as much as we could to see how we wanted to lay it out, depths, things like that, and get everything right, from how far the mezzanine comes off the wall for what space that gives us to how far the hood will clear. You know, that's all been measured out because we're in a really tight space.
What I noticed, Seth, was you are promoting the fact that you have 3 stores on your website. And had I not known, you know, and clicked on Madonna and then it said, hey, coming soon, you are aggressively telling the world that you have your 3rd store and you're excited about it.
We are. We're marketing it hard. The phone number is live. If you call it, you're going to get a live store manager for that location that will happily currently book you an appointment. We'll go meet you in our Medina facility, give you a quick tour, pick up your car, bring it to one of our other facilities, service it, and drop it back off.
I love it. That is very, let me see, the word progressive and aggressive. I like that. Yeah, excellent.
We plan to launch this store with really, really fast and really hard when we first open, so.
I love it. Hey, I met Troy in Florida about 3 to 4 weeks ago. I did a podcast with him and a couple of others, and that's not yet been released. But I learned all about Graham, and I think what you told me is you're now remodeling, right?
Yeah, no, a second location.
And a second location is coming soon. Well, great. Let me show you this. Let's start your pictures off. It's a beautiful place. And one of the questions that I have, and please do some great narration for us, Troy. In Washington, of course, you get a lot of rain, I'm sure. Rumor has it. And the drive-through, you know, if you will, the entrance, perfect timing for COVID, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And that was the whole purpose of the design. I always wanted a covered drop service area for sure. So, yeah, we do all of our walk-arounds and everything as the customer comes in.
And they don't pick up their car there, do they? They pick it up from the lot?
Yes, they pick it up from the lot.
And by the way, let me remind everyone, this gets repurposed as a podcast. You can see the video on YouTube again. And if you're listening through audio and you say, God, I want to see these pictures, go to the website, the show page, or on YouTube. This is a gorgeous picture I took off of your web photo page. There it is. I own the dirt. Check that out.
It definitely was a longer project than assessed. I mean, from start to finish, that was probably over 2 years.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Seth and Troy offer some valuable advice to consider as you start the process of a new build. The automotive industry is blazing through with so many twists and turns and changes. Careful not to crash. Yet amidst it all, the demand for repair is a constant. So the questions remain, will repair shops adapt or die? Well, our friends at Shopware Shop Management Software get it. Their CEO is a shop owner. They understand what it takes to repair cars, and they're ready for the next big thing in automotive. Shopware tailors mainstream web-based technology to the needs of the industry's leading repair shops. You can run entirely digital, phone optional, and paper-free. Interactive online repair orders will not only meet the needs of contemporary drivers, but they are blown away by the experience. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's ecosystem enables next-generation shop efficiency and customer satisfaction without compromise. Full-service onboarding and best-in-class support provide everything a shop needs to transform its business and stay competitive long into the future. Enjoy more accurate quotes, more profitable jobs, busier technicians, and of course, happier customers. On the web at getshopware.com. Hey, Carm here. Have you heard this before? If you need something, we're just a phone call away. But then when you need something and you make that phone call, nothing. Well, if you needed something from your marketing company right now, today, could you get their help? Or now that they've got your money, has the personalized attention just faded away? Well, we've all experienced something like this. If you want that to go away, I want to introduce you to my friends over at Shop Marketing Pros. Shop Marketing Pros is a boutique marketing company. Now, what that means is they're small. It also means that they know their clients because they communicate with them regularly. If you're tired of working with a big transactional agency who treats you just like another auto repair shop, well, it's time to talk to the folks over at Shop Marketing Pros. They are a real phone call away. Find them on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. What were the challenges ahead of you for that 2 years? Was it government permits, construction?
Mostly permitting. And then there was some issues with the dirt that we had to do all the soil with like concrete mix because it was kind of too wet. So they had a big mixing truck, looked like a mixer, a rototiller that rototilled the whole thing and mixed concrete into the dirt before we put the foundation in.
So that thing is one big solid piece of dirt.
It is now.
Oh my, unbelievable. Well, it's how many bays?
Seven.
Seven bays. Is that a door at the very end?
Yes, and I mostly just put it there because you can't, once you do concrete, you can't change it just to get more ventilation or if we had to roll something down the center.
Got it. Now, talk to me about let's go back to that picture again. Talk to me about this design. I mean, did you sweat over base size and depth and work with your people on making sure that it was, you know, the workflow was nice?
Oh, definitely. That took a lot of thought and drawing and redrawing. And I think the reason I went with the depth, I'm in a commercial area and my commercial real estate agent said, make it a minimum of 50 deep in case you ever want to repurpose it someday, because that's a commercial building size for retail. So I went 50 deep, but definitely the waiting area, the lunchroom was all designs from shops I didn't like it in the past.
Let's look at that next picture. There's a nice waiting room.
And there's usually a lot more stuff in there, but it was because of COVID, we had to take a lot of that out. So there's not many things to touch.
Yeah, I know. In fact, who was I talking to the other? Oh, I got my haircut the other day, and I said, "What's going on with all the rules?" And they go, "We have no clue. We don't know if we can have magazines or chairs anymore. No one's communicating. It's almost like we're at the end of COVID, and no one knows how to react anymore. I think it's just through osmosis. It's going to happen. This is some beautiful customer amenities.
Yeah, when I built the building, I hired a designer, and she did all the design of the interior part of the customer area and the pictures and everything. So that was well worth it. People say, they come in and say, is this a spa or an auto repair shop?
Seth, it seems like you're going to have that too, the way you're building that VIP lounge.
Yeah, we also have it downstairs, kind of like that, where we have a built-in under the stairs with coffee and the whole nine yards.
Guys, look, you're both at this level of customer experience. It didn't take you long to figure out that you needed to do this stuff. Is this something that every shop owner needs to stop and realize that they've got to upgrade? And if people even don't stick around and have a cookie, but it just has to be there. Even if they don't take a cold water, it just needs to be there.
You have your 4 to 5 senses, and people make emotional decisions based on how they feel when they walk into a place. They don't have to ever use it, but they have to feel a certain way.
Because next time, hey, there's tea, there's coffee, there's a cookie. Next time. But at least in my mind, I know that I could go there. And if I've got to wait an hour, I will wait in comfort. Excellent. I just love where all of that is going. What area is this, Troy?
The customer drop-off, that's the two service advisors. We had that, you see that UV light, that tray is usually not there, but that's the stick keys underneath when we're in the deep of COVID. That's our two podiums.
And, there's the customer convenience area. That's very sharp looking. A double screen kiosks, right?
Who would have known I built this building that I need three, which I have to figure out where to put another one.
That means you're growing.
Yeah.
That's a terrible, terrible problem. I'm really sorry for you.
We have an estimator in that back room now, so.
Got it. So that must be the end of the pictures. Look at your challenges over this 2-year project, Troy. What would you do different?
You have to start early. I mean, it depends on your area and your county and how slow your county is. But in our area, by the time you buy the dirt to the time you submit, especially if you're going through the SBA loan, it's a year and a half to 2 years.
Guys, help me understand. Seth, obviously, you're one of the luckiest guys in the world to do your project in 9 months, because I continue to hear what Troy is saying and how long it takes. And Seth, if you have experience with that, why is government so slow?
Well, I mean, auto repair is not the most glamorous business, nor is it. They put up some roadblocks when they hear auto repair.
Do you feel the same way, Troy?
Ours is it's individual counties. My new location's in the city limits, and it's much, much faster. There's only like 7 people on staff. Our county, though, on the other hand, it could be 100 people, and one doesn't know what the other's doing. So you have to continually call down and say, have you seen my paperwork on your desk? Oh, I was on vacation. I didn't see it. It was unbelievably stressful.
Okay, so here's a big takeaway. Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Absolutely.
Got it. Working with your architect, was that a challenge? Did he want to do things that you did or didn't want to do?
It was no problem. It was a great experience.
Now, your new building, are you building that or are you buying a place?
I'm buying existing and remodeling. It's a huge remodel. And that architect, that's more of an issue.
Without exposing any problems, where's the conflict?
Remodels are totally different. I didn't know that. So you have to be very clear going up front with an architect what that entails is what I would say on a remodel. Because there's a lot more to a remodel than a new building. New building was way easier on the architectural side.
Got it. What kind of amenity? I mean, Troy, the HVAC, are you air conditioned in the current facility?
Not in the service department side. Not in the bays.
Not in the bays.
It doesn't get that hot here. Only a month a year.
And there's a ton of people out there that are either in the remodel mode, Troy, like you are with an acquisition and or building from scratch. Seth, I know you know a lot of guys around the country. Obviously, owning the dirt is one of the biggest things I hear about all the time. And it's great to be able to lease us up, buy the place, or if you make an acquisition, make it a plan to buy the dirt over time. If someone, a lot of owners are selling out, looking at the rent or the lease of a place as a long-term part of their buyout. But you should still and always plan on having the first right of refusal to buy it. Now, you buy a piece of dirt like Seth did and Troy did. Advice that we can give to the to your peers in the industry, Seth?
Really, really plan out the project. Go visit as many places as you can and see what you like and what you don't like. And then it comes down to what you can afford, right? So start out with your dream and then start making your cuts, you know, from there. But I've toured a lot of facilities and looked at a lot of things and the spaces that we had and, you know, and then assign somebody. For me, I have an ops manager and he has an assistant, and my blessing in disguise has been Olivia, who's Daniel's assistant, and my assistant that can stay on top of all this stuff and just phone call and be that squeaky wheel that says, hey, you got my permit, because we still need a permit from Medina. And as Troy mentioned, you know, she called six times and they finally like, yes, it's done. It's like, leave us alone type of deal, because she has that time to stay on top of them.
Do you need to get a certificate of occupancy then, just before you open?
Yep, I will. And she's been calling and saying, what do you need? Because we're going to not quite be done by our opening dates. And she's like, what do you need for a temporary CO? What requirements do you have? What's it going to take to get that temp CO? So she's working with the city as well as my contractor to make sure that we have all our ducks in a row. So we get their inspector out, we get our temp CO, we can finish up some other things because we're waiting on some materials.
In your case, Troy, did you have, obviously you had to put this concrete mix, but was there any other environmental on the land that you had to worry about?
No, it was never been developed before where I was at. It was just pasture land, so there was no environmental issues.
Now, you owned a shop previous, and of course you built this while your other place was still going. Were they next door to each other? Was it a few miles away?
It's 1 mile away. And I was leasing that building. My lease ran out. So, yeah, that's a whole other story of not having a shop for a few months.
Really? Oh, your lease ran out and you were actually down in the water, huh?
Well, I leased a tiny two-bay between the two of us and moved all equipment and everything out and then had to remove to this building. But
unbelievable. And when you opened, I think I heard you say that you doubled your business.
Yep. Within the first year, we doubled our revenue just because I believe a nicer building attracts different clientele for sure than where I was at before.
Was it difficult to find that piece of property and get an offer on it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the problem of our area. This is a newer area, a growing area, and there is no buildings. There is no, you either have to build new or move out of the area to find another location.
Were you able to get a decent deal from the current landowner?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, commercial property is definitely way real high, but it's behind a Starbucks and behind, it's not on the main. The main would have been double in land to be on the main street, but didn't seem to affect us at all.
Guys, when you look at a brand new building and you realize that it's not only for the marketplace, for the growth of your personal wealth and serving the client, isn't a brand new building and having done it right a way to retain key people?
Absolutely. You attract different technicians. We've had technicians apply here just because they saw our building and saw, you know, we have a virtual tour and all that, just because they knew what kind of place we have. So we people come in, I want to work here.
I think it helps. I mean, I got people applying all the time. I got guys sending me messages, you know, begging for interviews right now for techs. You know, it does help. They see the new building. They see the, you know, we're pretty active with our building on Facebook and pushing it so people see it's coming. It does help us attract some techs. We're not much different than Troy probably for weather wise. We get 1 or 2 months of heat, but the air conditioning seems to really resonate with people, even if I only run it sparingly. But I mean, today it's 91 degrees out of nowhere. It was 62 degrees last weekend, and there was a frost warning at night for 40 degrees, and today it's 92 and humid, and the guys got the air on. So
I think about a shop owner that has 2 or 3 bays. They're renting, they're leasing, Troy, like in your particular case, and they say, oh my, do I have to build a place with 7 or 8 bays?
I guess it depends on what everybody's different. That was my vision. The bank was decided to loan me a certain amount of money, and that's what I could build for my budget. So, I mean, I would never have thought I could build this big of a building, for sure.
Seth, I think he said the magic words there. And it's like, if you're growing a great business and you have profitable profit and loss statement and you've got a great relationship with your bank, you've got good cash flow, they will help you out, right?
They will definitely help you out. But, you know, as you mentioned, you have to have your financials in order. And, I mean, the determining factor for my bank was anytime they asked for something, I had it at a snap of a finger, and I made their job easy, and I keep showing them the right things. They don't dig any deeper. Not that there's anything to find, but you don't want people digging deeper than they have to. If you're Johnny on the spot and get them everything that the bank needs, it moves along pretty quick because they're like, okay, this guy's on top of it. No questions asked.
Yeah, those commercial loan officers, they want to see your P&L. Usually it's monthly, and if you hold it back, they're all going to say, geez, we didn't get Seth's P&L last month. What's going on? Let's go look. If you send it to them and they see it like clockwork, then they have no reason, like you say, to dig deep. Again, not that they're going to find anything, but who needs to invest their time in that? Any final words, guys? This was great. Thank you so much for the behind-the-scenes look, both Troy at your place and Seth is so happy for both of you guys and the success that you've had. Any final words, Seth?
If it's what you want to do, then get working on it and have your financials in order and start building what you want. I mean, there's so much opportunity out there right now.
And Troy, any final words? But this is not an easy project to think that you're just going to slide like a normal day. I mean, you've got to put some intense bandwidth into it, right, Troy?
It was very, very stressful for me, especially since I was working out of a small little building. So, yeah, I mean, looking back, I wouldn't do anything differently. But going through it, it's like, I wish I'd have never done it. But
I need it, I want it, but I would have never done it. And so when you build your next one, you'll be that much smarter.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not stuck not having a successful business. The first one, I think, is the hardest for sure. So start early, get clear timelines from your engineers and the bank, and you should be good.
Excellente. Hey, thank you so much, Seth Thorson, Eurotech, New Brighton, Minnesota, and the great, lots of high fives and success with the new location in Medina, which hopefully will open really soon. And Troy Vantaneni from Graham Auto Repair, Graham, Washington, and actually he's got a new location coming on board that they're remodeling. And good to have you both here. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.